Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jordan with the Laundromat Resource Podcast. This is show 130, and I'm pumped you're here today because today we have April and Shane Ashley on the show, and this one is a doozy. They started out with a pickup and delivery business and then moved into the laundromat space. They did it in a very unique way, and so much good information comes out of this interview. It's so good. I know you guys are going to love it, get a ton out of it. Real quick before we jump into it, number one, I want to say a huge welcome to all the new listeners out there. We've had a huge influx of people coming in and listening. So welcome to you guys. Hope you guys are getting a ton of value out of these interviews. I know people are coming on here and sharing their experiences, their stories, and their secrets, trying to help everybody else out. So hopefully that's happening for you. The other thing I just want to mention real quick, some feature that we have in the pro community here that not a lot of people know about, and just wanted to tell you real quick that when you're in the pro community, you can actually see all the members of the pro community here, but then you can also filter by near you. And so it'll show a list of all the people that are located near you. And you can see, if you're on YouTube, at least you can see here that all these people live near me in the pro community, which is pretty awesome. And so if something that you're looking for is people to network with in your area, man, come join the pro community. There's a ton of perks to it. Check out laundromatresource.com/pro to see all the perks. But one of the big ones here is the community itself and the members that are part of this community. It has been by far the most rewarding part of all of this, is connecting with other people in this industry. The community is fantastic. Mastermind groups are incredible. They're changing people's businesses, people's lives. It's been awesome. But anyways, I just wanted to show that one little feature that I don't think I've ever highlighted before, but you can actually search by members near you. You can send them a message on the platform. You can reach out to them and connect. And I know that's happening a lot already in the membership there. So wanted to share that. If you're interested in joining the pro community, laundromatresource.com/pro, ton of perks there, but this is one of the cool ones that is, it's just underrated, and it's awesome. All right, let's jump into it with April and Shane Ashley and hear their story and learn from their experience. April and Shane, thank you for coming on the show. How are you guys doing today? Oh,
doing pretty good.
Happy to have
happy to
you
be here.
Especially this is not normally the case, but we've actually met before. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Yes.
We met at the Clean Show this last summer in Atlanta. Got to spend a little time at your booth there. It's really nice.
So fun. And it's not normally the case. A lot of times when I introduce people or when I interview people for the podcast, I've never met before. So it's cool that it's starting to get to that point where I've met some people that have come on the podcast. So very cool. Super excited to have you guys, and thanks for reaching out to come on the show. Why don't we start with who are you people? Who are you guys? And how did you get into the laundromat business?
Well, we are Freedom From Laundry, and we're just outside Chattanooga, Tennessee. So not in California any longer, although both of us lived in California years ago.
Oh, nice.
I That's was in Rancho Cucamonga.
And we lived in Palm Springs area.
Nice. I love Palm Springs in like the spring and the fall. And the summer is...
Yeah.
Summertime is... That's hot. Yeah.
Way too hot.
All right, keep going. Sorry to interrupt. I got excited.
That's okay. Anyways, we're just outside Chattanooga. And I had spent many years actually designing and building custom homes and small commercial buildings. And then of course there was the whole crash of 07-08. And from there I went into banking and also B2B sales, which I love B2B sales. But then I kind of ran across this guy, again, we had known each other about 15 years, but hadn't seen him in about 10. We ended up getting married almost 9 years ago. And so, he's a good guy. So about 4.5 years ago, was running an entire office for international company and came home and said, I'm kind of over this. I want to be self-employed again. And he was like, well, what do you want to do? And I started looking at all kinds of different businesses. And laundry was sort of in there, but I wasn't really sure about it. And then one day I was going to the dry cleaner, and I saw a van that said free pickup and delivery laundry service. And I thought it was coming out of the dry cleaner. So I asked the dry cleaner, I said, so do you work with them? And she said, oh, no. She said, but man, I wish we did, because people come in here all the time asking for a laundry service. And I was like, really? I said, my husband and I are kind of thinking of starting a laundry business. And she's like, oh, my God, if you did, I could give you customers today. Today I could give you customers. And I was like, really? And so I went home and said, hey, babe, I think we need to do a laundry service.
So that was how that started.
You're like, and my life has never been the same.
And then has not. So she's one who can dive into something, is a really good about doing research and finding information about whatever direction we're headed in, and spent a good bit of time just trying to find out who's doing it, what are they doing, what does this even look like, what are the different avenues, costs, and stuff involved in it. So, and then we found out there was really nobody in our area providing that service. And this area is about 350,000 people with Chattanooga. It's a pretty good medium-sized town. And it was just an open door.
Yep.
As far as the laundry service goes.
So in my investigation, I found 2U Laundry and also The Fold. And I am a huge believer in not reinventing the wheel. And so I said, I believe we need to do what they're doing. And sometimes I feel like I know their business as well as they do, because I've followed and followed and followed. And so that's how we kind of started out. And I quit my job within the month and said, because I knew it was going to work. I just knew it. And like, because he said, I dive in all the way. And so I got with the Chamber of Commerce and got with BNI's groups and such, and just started going, you know, business to business and such, telling people, hey, this is what we got. This is what we're doing. This is amazing. You should do it. And we literally have many of the same customers we have today started with us the first month. We're huge into keeping our customers happy.
We need to pause here for a second and go, like, you just jumped into present day here, and we need to go back a little bit. Okay, so first of all, you saw a truck pull out, and you talked to one person at the dry cleaner, and then you quit your job. Is that what I'm hearing, basically?
within a short time period, it went from 0 to 60, and we were just trying this. We didn't have a lot of savings, so this was all shoestring. We had our little Nissan Cube, which quickly turned into our delivery vehicle. And now this is the last half of 2019. So around August, September, October, things started moving in the pickup and delivery service. And she was asked to participate in a competition with the local Chamber of Commerce, also Small Business Administration connections here in Chattanooga, and came in second place at a competition that gave us a couple grand in prize money, which we weren't expecting at all, and turned into buying laundry bags and more business cards and door hangers, which were distributed all over the area.
Okay. Listen, we need to, you're still going too fast here. Because just to clarify. So you guys started a pickup and delivery service, but you didn't own a laundromat. You didn't own a facility or anything like that. So when you say you quit your job and you started the business, what you mean by that is you quit your job and you just started picking up people's laundry and then doing what with it? Like, what did you, well, okay, before we got to get to what you did with it, I mean, what did you have to set up in the beginning? I get asked a lot, like, can I start a pickup and delivery service? You know, and Mark Vlaskamp, who's been on the podcast a few times now, and he started the Fold that you mentioned, you know, that's the way that he started with, you know, pickup and delivery, no laundromat. Dominique Boone, former podcast guest, same thing. And Mark now actually is like, man, that was a really hard way to go. I don't know. Like, you better be ready for it if you're going that way, right? So what did you do in order to actually set this thing up and start? Like, if you were going to start, or if you're going to advise somebody on how to start today, like, what would that look like?
Well, part of it was finding what we needed to contact our customers and keep the business, as far as who can contact us, whether it's a website or even a phone number. We found somebody who had a pretty good system. Just he had designed the system for his family and their laundromat, so that they could operate a pickup and delivery service. And that was a very practical and economical way to go. Then there was the facility. We did not own a laundromat, so we knew of a laundromat in our area that was, it didn't seem like it was doing a lot of business in the time that we were actually looking to start this. So we got in touch with the owner. He's a local contractor here in the area, and that's one of his side gigs. So he had a little office space next to the laundromat that we were able to secure it and rent it from him. And then basically we were just feeding machines.
Yeah.
You know, we figured in the price of our laundry service what we could do if that was the only thing that we had available, was to feed these machines. And that worked out pretty good for starters.
It worked out pretty good because it gave us storage area. It gave us, we were able to, you know, not be carrying soap and fabric softener and soap back and forth to a laundromat. We had our own private office, if you will, next to the laundromat. And we worked out a deal with him that he gave us 20% off the machines. And so we did that for several months, and then COVID hit, because by that time we had several Airbnbs. We were working with a lot of Airbnbs pretty quick. But then when COVID hit, of course, all the Airbnbs stopped. And within just a couple of weeks of that, Chattanooga was hit with an Easter Sunday tornado. Horrible, horrible damage to the area. It was pretty rough. We personally weren't affected, but the other side of town, there was a lot of damage. And so that hit on Sunday. And on Thursday, I get a phone call from what I thought was a young man, and said that we've got a few crews coming in to help with the laundry. Would you be willing to help, or helping with the cleanup? And would you be willing to help with laundry? I said, sure. Turned out a few phone calls later, it was the local EPB, or Electric Power Board, and they had 1,500 workers coming in, staying at 24 different hotels for about 8 weeks. And so we quickly hired 14 people, and we took over the laundromat that we were using. We called the owner and said, look, we got to close it to the public because of COVID. We need to help the tornado victims. He said, not a problem. And for the next 8 weeks, we cranked it out 7 days a week, just thousands and thousands of pounds of laundry. Learned by fire.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Yeah.
Okay. All right. You keep going way too fast here. We need to back up a second. We're definitely going to dig into that experience, because that sounds, you know, that trial by fire is trial by tornado, I guess, is yeah. Wild. I'm sure there's a lot to talk about there. But let's back up before that still. So, okay, you had a conversation with a lady, and then you quit your job and started a business. I love you had, you know, a platform for people to be able to contact you, and then you found a facility to work with. How did you gain pickup and delivery customers without actually having any facility, no laundromat, no building really, other than this little office that you rented? How did you actually acquire your first customers before, you know, you were sort of quote unquote gifted the customers on Easter Sunday?
I love B2B sales and I love people. And so I went to every Chamber of Commerce event that I could go to. I visited every BNI, which is Business Network International, and let them know what we were doing. We had door hangers. I put out probably 400 door hangers. We put posters up at every coffee shop. Again, bootstrapped everything because we didn't have like media. And I'm being totally transparent, I'm terrible with social media. So I'm still trying to learn that. I've got a company that's working with us on that. But so really no social media, just hit the pavement, lots of walking, lots of talking, and grew quick. Yeah.
Well, what I love about that is, so I talk with a lot of, this is not just in the laundromat industry, but this is business owners in general. And I talk with a lot of business owners, but laundromat owners, you know, who are trying to grow their businesses, whether that's self-serve, drop-off, pick and deliver, or whatever. Like, okay, well, what have you done to start to grow your business? And a lot of times it's like, well, you know, I've run some social media ads, or I post on social media, or I did door hangers around the neighborhood or whatever. And a lot of times the bridge from where you're at to where you want to go is spanned like quantity, right? It's like, you know, okay, like you put out 200 flyers, like, you know, you got to do like so much more than that, right? It's like what you're saying. It's like you put out a lot of flyers or door hangers or whatever, and you hung, you know, posters in the coffee shop, and you're talking, you know, to people at these networking meetings, and you're doing like, you know, contests with people who you might be able to do business. You know, like it's like quantity, right? Like if you're trying to grow something, especially from scratch, if you're trying to grow something, you've got to like blow everybody out of the water with quantity. Just be everywhere that they're turning, where they're like, fine, get out of my face and just do my laundry for me. I don't want to hear from you anymore. You know what I mean? Like that's almost what you have to do.
Much.
And that's kind of how it was. She was in front of a lot of people. I was more like, I just want to do the driving. I want to pick up the laundry and then I'll bring it back and you can wash it and handle all the business into this. And that changed real quick. We saw that we needed more contact with the public.
He says that, but he's extremely modest because this is a guy that went to school and is trained in commercial diving. He does construction underwater. Awesome. He's built houses from ground up. He can do plumbing, HVAC, drywall, concrete work, all of that. He built our, when we haven't got there yet, but after the tornado, we built our own location. He did all of the plumbing, all of the wiring, he built the entire commercial location with everything involved. So he says that, but he's just
sounds
really
like you guys are a good dynamic duo where you've got you doing all the real hard work and you doing all the fun stuff with all the people and getting all the customers. So I don't know. I kind of feel like you're getting the short end of the stick a little bit, but it sounds like you're both in your element here.
Yeah, it's a good mix. We work well together.
Well, and that's a lot of times that's what it takes, right? There's multiple books written on this. You know, Rocket Fuel is one that comes to mind right now. Like, you know, where you've got somebody who's, you know, that integrator, the one who's, you know, doing the behind the scenes stuff. And then you've got that front person who's casting the vision, maybe not even necessarily of the business, but maybe of the business. And also, but casting that vision to the customers or potential customers to kind of bring them in. Right. And it sounds like you have both of those in Spade, which I'm sure has contributed to your success, but we're not at your success yet. We're still starting. Now you're getting me to jump ahead. Okay. So you've got a bunch of customers that are starting to roll in just through sheer pestering of everybody in Chattanooga is what I'm hearing. And things are starting to grow. And I was going to ask you, it sounds like you were driving and picking up stuff and you were actually processing the laundry.
I was, but because we did a lot of Airbnbs and we had a ton of sheets, him and I got extremely good at doing sheets together. I mean, we could do king size sheets in about 6 seconds. It's almost like a dance. We got it down. So yeah, there was a lot of togetherness. Yeah.
So I think maybe the first time Mark Vlaskamp was on the podcast, he was bragging about how quickly he could fold fitted sheets. So it sounds like need to have a fitted sheet off between you and Mark Vlaskamp to see who really is the champion here. Yeah.
That's dangerous.
I don't want Mark to look bad. I like that. Mark, you're getting called out, buddy. I'm definitely going to send him this episode, you know, to make sure he hears it. So,
We did get to meet Mark and actually talk with him for quite a while at the Clean Show as well.
Guy.
So,
yeah, great guy. Great and guy. Him and 2U Laundry, they're one and the same now, the Fold and 2U. So pretty cool. Okay. All right. So you were gaining these customers. So you ended up having to help also with some of the laundry processing. Was it just you guys until that tornado hit, or had you hired anybody before? Okay.
Yes.
So it was just you guys doing that. And then one just small little detail that you mentioned. So you mentioned that you kind of negotiated like a 20% off with the owner of the laundromat. How did that work logistically? Did he have a card system where you could? Okay. Because I get asked.
Yeah. Spider wash.
Okay. So I get asked that a lot. How do you even practically get a discount? But I think you do need a digital payment system. I don't know of a way to do that with the cash. So, awesome.
He was able to you know, hand us the cards and say, use what's on it. If it runs out, I'll refill it. And then that's how the discount would be figured in.
Yeah, we just get mail him a check.
We cut him a check at the end of the month or whatever he needed. And that's where the discount. We'd see a report on it, what came in, what we used. And then he would say, okay, then we take off so much. And
so he would basically invoice you. And so you would actually pay after the fact. You're not paying, which also, I mean, that's a hot tip right there is that, you know, if you can get invoiced and pay like a net 30 or something like that, where you're paying at the end of the month, that actually helps you out, especially if you're bootstrapping the business. Yeah, that's a hot tip right there. So if you're looking to get started, that's money in the bank, literally, right there.
That card system is invaluable when it
came to that.
Helping us to get going.
That's awesome. Okay, so let me see. I've been writing down notes here. What do I need to – do you have – okay, I mean, you started this basically from scratch. You said you've sort of shoestring this, and even you won some money that you used to help get this thing started, right? Like, do you recommend that to people? I mean, that seems like a really hard way to go, but also it seems like a big opportunity. If you can figure out how to do it, it could be a really good opportunity. So, I mean, how would somebody get, let's say I have $2,000 or something to invest in this thing. Like, can I get started on with that much money? Do I need more? What do you think?
I mean, we did it, but again, we're an awesome team and we really have each other's back. I don't know that I would actually recommend what we've done because it's a lot of work, but it worked for us. But if somebody is willing to really work and lose a lot of sleep, it can happen. Because people love the service when they find out about it. It's mostly educating people that this service exists. And then, you know, keeping the customers happy and a lot of customer communication. You know, letting them know that we appreciate them and that we, you know, we like their input. Can we do something different? You know, is there something else we can do? And listening to them, that makes them feel.
That's huge. What's funny is that both you and Mark have been very successful, and neither one of you really recommend going this route because it's a lot of work. But I think there's something to that, right? Yeah, go ahead.
It would have been easier to have a little bit of capital to work with, but there again, we would have lost the education. And we were taking kind of any job that we could get as far as laundry service. And we even had to learn about that's not always the best thing to do. And then again, too, we started it 3 or 4 months before COVID hit. And along with our Airbnb customers, right as COVID started, all that traffic just stopped. And so that's where I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to go back to doing a little painting houses. There's a couple remodel jobs I could possibly do. And then of course we talk about the tornado hitting, and that just kind of went completely opposite of everything. Stop the laundry service, go back to construction, tornado hits, and then it's wide open laundry.
And it never really quit from there, because I mean, he kind of went back into construction because after the tornado, that's when we built our own commercial location, and he did all that work with one other guy. And that took a few months. And then we moved into our commercial location in 20, and then we doubled it in 21. He doubled it. And then in 22, we went back and bought the original laundromat that we started.
That's
at.
Awesome. Okay. You're still going like way too fast here.
Three and a half.
Come on, people. We're like, you're up here going like 3,000 feet. I want to get down. You know what I mean? We want to fly in a crop duster here and check this out here. Okay. So let's go. So Shane, were you also sort of not working when this thing got started, or what was that situation like?
I was actually doing maintenance for an apartment complex here locally. And, I just got tired of being on call. I was on call for all holidays, all weekends, and it was just starting to kind of drag me down. And then we decided to, we talked about it. She saw the delivery van there at the dry cleaners in June. And I had decided I was working till August. One way or the other, I was working till August at this job. And so that's when things started progressing real fast with looking into the laundry service to see, is this going to be where we need to be? But either way, I was stepping away from that job. It was just too much.
Okay.
Too much time. I thought it was too much.
Yeah. Now we do this.
Fools. Now you're spending all your time. You thought you had no time before.
Oh, yeah. What's a vacation?
All right. I mean, I feel like I need to make this clear to everybody that you saw a van, you had one conversation, and then basically both of you quit your jobs and just jumped in both feet. This is what I'm hearing essentially is what happened, if I'm going to distill it down.
Pass. It's kind of.
I love it.
Well, and he had taken, you know, between, I would say, August and March, he had taken a few different construction jobs and so forth, you know, smaller ones that were just 3 or 4 days, you know, a piece. But I was hitting the pavement hard and just out every single day. And then the customers started growing, and then we started having laundry a lot, and it never. We thought it was going to quit like at the beginning of COVID and then the tornado. And then it never did quit after that because.
Good grief.
I'm jumping.
April. Yeah. You're all hyped today. Up. Look, I'm trying to like have a mellow conversation. I love it. Okay. You're just excited. And I love the excitement. Okay. Talk to me. Okay. You know, you guys are fresh in this business. You've been growing it for like a few months now. You're seeing it take off. You're like, we both quit our jobs. We don't care. We're doing what we want. And things are starting to work, and you're getting excited, and then COVID hits, And you've got a few days there where COVID hit before that tornado, right? Like, how did that feel? Were you guys scared? Were you like, okay, what are we going to do? What was the sentiment there?
Yeah, it was, you know, who wants to just completely toss this whole idea in the garbage, running this laundry service when, you know, it's got a lot of potential, but here our customers are disappearing quick, or their level of work is disappearing quick, because they were still, oh, we need you guys so much. You guys are such a big help for us, but we just don't have any traffic right now. We still had some of the residential customers, and he had actually started with Instacart. You know, I'm not going to do laundry service anymore. I'm going to start delivering people's groceries for a little bit. And then, yeah. And then I've always been able to, people still call me all the time, need help with a remodel project, some kind of maintenance issue or something. So I don't really have trouble finding work, because we could always go back to that if it came to it. And then, of course, yeah, that's is a really scary time. You know, everybody in our friends were folks were losing their jobs and being kind of locked out of different things. Some of our friends clean houses. Some of our friends, you know, are involved in the public, restaurant workers, stuff like that. And yeah, everybody was just kind of home and needed work. And we were kind of right there too for a little while. And then again, that was just a little twist of a natural disaster that kind of shifted our gears and shifted everything for us. Really,
just threw in there a little twist with the natural. I like that you're trying to keep it lighthearted here. It's natural disaster. Okay, well, let's jump into that, because you know you're on this high, business is growing, you get slammed. You know, COVID shuts everything down. You're like, oh, do we lose everything? What's happening here? And then just a few days later, right, this tornado hit, which I'm sure was devastating for the community and, you know, had widespread ramifications for everybody. So that's, you know, obviously everybody's, you know, feeling the chaos of that. But you get this call and you start taking on this business. And then you said you hired 14 people. What was that like from being a two-person show and then just shaking his head right now, and then having to hire 14 people, and now all of a sudden, you know, you go from, you know, just being you guys and being rock star sheet folders to having to find and hire and train and manage 14 people, you know, all happening in real time while you're processing this laundry. So, like, how did you guys do? How did you find? Let's start here. How did you find employees that quickly and that many?
We reached out to just friends and family and just said, "Here's the deal. We need people. You know, and so who do you know that needs work?" And most of them were wives with husbands who were home because of COVID. And one of them was actually one of my best friends. Her husband, their business was shut down and he was just going kind of stir crazy. So he came out as a second driver. He himself went and rented a minivan so he could do pickup and delivery on one side of town and Shane could do it on the other, and brought everybody in and had group classes quick, this is how we're going to fold, this is how we're going to do it. And that kind of part of the story was when they first called, they said, well, we're going to give you half and we're going to give the other half to a local dry cleaner. And I said, I didn't think they did laundry. And they said, they don't, but they're going to do it for us. So that was on Friday. And we said, okay, that's fine. Still, you know, it was 15 hotels or something. And so we had to pick it all up, bring it over, process it, take it all back. And that was on Friday. And Sunday morning, they called back and they said, we love what you're doing. You're so organized. Everything's great. not so much with the other guy. Would you take on all of it? And I called my crew, talked to him, and said, okay, here we go. And it kept everybody employed for the next 8 weeks that were unemployed otherwise, yeah, and wondering where they were going to get groceries. Yeah.
Well, that's a little bit trial by fire there, you know, and having to do that. So did you know everybody you hired beforehand?
Most everybody. Oh, another good friend of April's, really, whose name is April also. She is like, she's the networking queen. She has just excellent contacts and really good resource for knowing people. And so the other April, she got everything. She started making calls and said, hey, this person needs work. This person needs work. Hey, this person needs work. Yep. And so that just kind of,
yeah,
there you go.
With less than 2 days, we got off 14 people, had them, brought them in, got them trained. So this is how we're doing it. And we went to town.
This is a little bit of a side note, you know, in terms of what we're talking about here, but it's related because other April being what I would call a super connector, right? And just the value of having super connectors in your life, people who are just good, you know, the people who know everybody, you know, and can introduce you to somebody, like there's so much value in that. So, you know, I just wanted to point out, because I think it would behoove us, especially as business owners, to intentionally seek out and foster relationships with people who are these super connectors, because it can bring you opportunities, whether you need employees or you need employment, right? Or whatever the case may be, you need some sort of connection, right, or resource. I've got a good buddy who's a super connector, you know, and I just, anytime I need something, I'm just like, hey, you know, Larry, like, I'm looking for this. And he's like, oh yeah, I know somebody like that, right? And I can introduce you. I'm like, dude, this is incredible. Right. So foster intentional relationships with super connectors when they come across your way. Okay. So for 8 weeks, you're just doing this blitz. What was, you know, you've got all this sort of temporary work coming in. What about the rest of your customers? I know a lot of businesses shut down. So I don't know if you had a lot of residential, a lot of business customers before that. What did that look like in terms of your customers before COVID versus the, you know, during, while you're doing all this other stuff? Did you maintain a lot of those relationships, or were those on hold? How did that look?
The residential we kept. We just picked them up with the hotels. We'd be like, okay, go to this hotel, and go to this house. You know, and so we kept those right along, and they appreciated that.
And there was a lot of the people, especially in that stretch of town, that they were without power. Maybe their house had been damaged. A lot of the utilities were still being worked on. And so they were just happy to have us come get the clothes. It disappears for a day and then bring it back. And to this day, we've still got customers that were with us. And
that's pretty awesome. And I mean, I think it's a testament to, you know, just the way that you've run your business and the way that you've treated those customers. And you've already mentioned that and alluded to that. But that's so important too, is maintaining those relationships. And, you know, once you gain a customer, they're your customer to lose. And the way you lose them is by not paying attention to them, not treating them correctly, right? So, you know, congrats to you guys for having the kind of business that keeps customers around long-term. That's a big deal. Okay, so your business is booming. You're doing a ton of laundry. You said thousands of pounds, right? A week, a day.
Yeah, a day.
Thousands of pounds a day.
It was the day.
You got all these people working with you now. Talk about real quick, like, was it a dramatic shift, like, out of that when that 8 weeks was up? Was it just like, done? Okay, team, well done. Okay.
Well, it actually tapered off. And there was still some residual workers that were still there. And the volume decreased a little bit. And around that time, so this is midsummer now of 20. And people just started going a little bit further with vacationing, you know, staying close to home, but still breaking out into travel just a little bit. So that affected the Airbnb customers that we had. And so that started picking back up again. It was almost as the tornado work tapered off, the vacation rental clients kept picking up. And then we started seeing everybody is stuck at home. They're working remotely because of COVID, that they did not want to do their laundry after being stuck home all day at their computer or whatever. And then we started seeing more people calling, hey, when can we schedule a pickup? When can we schedule another pickup this week? The kids are home and I'm here working from home. So there was a lot of that. So that kind of helped. After tornado tapered off, that kind of picked up and started going with folks just who were stuck at home.
It's kind of this get out and go to work. Transition almost, right? Where your one was sort of tapering down and your other one was sort of tapering up. And so, I mean, I guess that's why you said your business stayed you know, high, higher than before, right? The fact.
Yep. Right. We didn't keep all 14 people. Of course. We went back down to the two of us for a while, a short time. And then
did
we
bring
started
some of those
bringing
same out of that pool
back.
Of 14 back on. Yeah.
Yeah. We feel some really good help and now they've moved on to different things, but during that time they were absolutely amazing. And you know, we got pretty good at what we were doing, but there was a few of our helpers that they just
awesome.
Put us to shame. They would love to have them any day so, if they become available again.
Awesome.
I hope so.
This business is so much like you get the right people in there, right? And your business looks very different than if you have the wrong person. Any business is like that, really, when you have employees, right? So hiring the right people is so critical to running a successful business there. Just out of curiosity, I mean, since you did have some success in finding, and part of that was just sort of luck of the draw of what kind of what happened, but do you have anything in particular that you're looking for when it comes to hiring a good employee?
I would say that first and foremost is honesty, which is, you know, you don't think of that so much in a laundry service, but when you come across somebody who's very honest, then they're going to be responsible. They're going to do what they say. They're going to, and humble, because if somebody's honest and humble, when you train them to do something, they're going to do it the way the company wants it done and not just, oh, well, this is how I do it at home, so I'm going to do it this way. No, this is now you're working for Freedom from Laundry. And so that's, you know, where we've had the most success is having people who are really honest and humble and like being part of a company that cares how we treat our customers, because we care.
Yeah.
So we
want that. So it's so key, right? For any business, but specifically a service business, you've got to care about your customers. You've got to care about the clothes and how you're treating the clothes. Also, it's a big deal. Okay. So you had this like huge rush, kind of like helped you jumpstart your business a little bit there. And then you decided to build your own. Where did that thought come from? How did that process go, building your own?
Well, it was interesting. Once the tornado work started tapering off a little bit, our facility there, the laundromat we were using, renting the space next to it, it sort of became a shared space involuntarily on our side. We kind of got pushed out of it a little bit. But that's, that's okay. It worked out. It was kind of a necessary push because, there was another company that needed the facility, who was doing a good bit more volume than what we were. And that was, kind of a lucrative thing for the owner. He said, you know, you two work together, share this space. He's making double of everything using that space, basically 24/7 for commercial or laundry service, and then another linen service. And so we're still middle of COVID, and we're like, me personally, I was not comfortable being around a lot of people. So we just said, let's take this a different direction. And we actually moved everything to the house first. It's not a very big house, but we did that for a little while. Laundry was everywhere. It was difficult. We were limited with machines, of course. And so we found out really quick that we needed a little more operating space. And we were able to do that here on our property. I started looking around for used equipment to see what we can make work with what we needed. And we got some pretty good machines that would get the job done for the most part. And then I just started on Facebook Marketplace trying to find used equipment, and I managed to find a good bit of used equipment, and have been successful at getting it going, and it worked good for a while we needed it. So
I figured, yeah, until last summer when we said, okay, we need more, and then we went back and, like I said, purchased the laundromat. But I will say, in the midst of all that, you know, and this is good for viewers to know, is sometimes you make mistakes along the way in business. And we made a pretty big one. I made a pretty big one. He didn't do it. I didn't. I accepted a contract for a hotel. Brand new hotel that had opened, that had no laundry facilities whatsoever. It was a 60-room hotel. And we had the contract for a year. And that was a...
enormous learning experience.
Well, talk about why. What was the...
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
The volume and the stuff you come across, it was just way more volume than what we could handle with our shop that we built with the machinery that we had. And it was 3 days a week that we were doing this. We were picking it up 3 days a week and returning it 3 days a week, which was, that in itself is a chore. That is a really big job if you're not equipped for a large volume, and then having to maintain the help, because then we had to ramp up the help to cover these, you know, close to 1,500 to 2,000 pounds of just this one job that had to be done in a day. So that was quite a step up from just doing a few bags of laundry here and
that's,
and don't do it.
You know, some of the tornado help had kind of gone on to other things too. And so we were having to rehire and retrain different people for this enormous volume of work that was, I mean, it took 6 or 7 people all day to get this stuff done in a reasonable time. And then we had to turn around and do it again the next day. Same thing. Working on the weekends was just...
yeah,
killing our crew.
Yeah,
we were 7 days a week for too long.
What?
So we're not.
Ended that contract with that hotel or motel. How did that come about? Did they pull out? Did you guys say we're done?
Okay. Well, at the end of the year, I raised the price. Yeah. I raised the price so much that they would say no, and I was like, okay.
And that's a good way to handle that too. I mean, I think that's a great tip. If you're in a situation where you have a customer that's just demanding way too much, you know, for either that you can handle or that you think is reasonable, you know, you can either just end the contract, or you could say, this is the price point where it's worth it to me to put up with what it's going to take to get this done. And if it's too high for you, all the better. Like, you know, hey, all right, go get your stuff. Yeah. And if they take it, then you make a whole lot more money. So.
Yeah.
I think that's a good little tip there also.
And we weren't getting greedy with it. It was just, it needed to be at a certain level after we ran the numbers on it. And that's what we had to lock in and say, hey, this is what we're putting into it. This is what we need back from it. And that's all we did. So we would still be doing it, but you know, they decided to go a little different route, which we're kind of glad. It was a
relief. Well, and I mean, I think that is fine. And that can feel, you know, just kind of speaking from the human aspect, that can feel like difficult to do. It can feel confrontational. It can feel, I don't know, like I've felt this myself. I've talked with other people who have all kinds of different feelings about that, right? And how that makes them feel of, you know, say you're I'm just throwing out fictitious numbers. Say you're charging $2 a pound and you're like, this is not worth it. It would be maybe worth it to us at $4 a pound, which is like, whoa, $4 a pound, that's double the price, right? And it can conjure a lot of feelings about going to, you know, a company and saying, hey, we're basically doubling price. However, you know, you guys have to be, you know, stewards of your own business and of yourselves and of your crew. And you said like everybody was being taxed and it was just weighing too much. And, you know, you have to protect that because guess what? If you overwork your crew and they're frustrated because they're working weekends and it's too much turnover and, you know, to turn it around so quickly and they all quit, then you don't have a business. Or if you guys burn out and you get sick of the business, well, something you loved is now gone. And now, you know, you either have to grind through it and it's not enjoyable anymore, or you find something else to do and start over from scratch, right? So you've got to, you know, come at this with a business perspective. That's what I love about what you guys did with this is, you know, long-winded way of saying, I love that you considered this and you thought about this through the lens of this is a business and we've got to run it like a business. And that was a shrewd, good business move, I think. So I'm trying to compliment you in a very long-winded way. Okay, so you built this facility. Tell us about the facility. What, you know, what was it like?
It's not a very big building, but it's here on our property. Okay. We're kind of out of town just a little bit, so it's not like high regulation. The county is kind of rural where we are. We're 10 minutes from town, from Chattanooga. So they kind of aren't as strict, and the cost of it is not going to be as extensive as it would have been for us to go in town and buy some commercial space or rent a commercial space. So we had basically a covered carport. That was her mother's. We kept her mother's camper in it, and I built into it. I took half of it and said, okay, this is just my laundry room. And we pulled the power, pulled water and everything off the house originally.
We got all the permits.
Should have
only that.
Then just kind of built this, it's about 600 square feet. That we started with, and it was 12 machines that we had set up. And with the hotel job that we were talking about, that got me to looking at some bigger equipment. And so I, again, was looking for used equipment, and I found a few sets of large commercial stuff, dryers and washers. And just kind of combine them into what we already had out here. So we've got, it's a pretty good little setup. And but we got to see real quick that little 600 square foot of just a washroom wasn't enough. So that's when we finished the rest of the building out.
Now it's 20 by 60, or 20 by 36.
Yeah. So it's bigger, but we're not using that
as much. Yeah. But he found like Milner washing machines. He got a 100-pound dryer, a 75-pound dryer, a couple more 45-pound dryers. And he installed all of this. Three face power. He did it all.
Yeah, it was little bit of a learning experience too, but you know, you just,
that's right,
you can YouTube it. If you don't know everything about something, you know, maybe a few pieces, but you can always YouTube it. Or I've got a lot of friends that work in different trades, so just say, hey, how do I do this? Oh yeah, just, you know, step one, step two, step three, that's all you got to do.
Shane,
you got
if
it.
If I had to choose one word right now to describe you, it'd be probably stallion is the word that's coming to mind right now. Just impressive all the way around right now. All right. So, but you're not really using that as much anymore, or what's the space just mostly sitting there?
Not
and
as much.
Using the laundromat that you purchased that we haven't talked about yet, but we have talked about, but we haven't.
Well, we're actually in that commercial space
right now.
I've turned it into people's office, and so we behind us is the building. We've got a little screen up here because there's still, it's probably going to be ongoing forever. It's little things I've got to finish and do. For just being here on our property, we have the best laundry room
that is
in
awesome.
The world.
Yeah. You're probably just decked out. Yeah.
Personal.
Just out of curiosity, do you guys have like picture of this thing when it was fully operating, or like I would love to see if you have any or dig any up. Let me know. I'd love to see just what it looked
like.
We'll
send you some pictures. Yeah,
because you know when you talk about people doing big volumes of laundry and stuff, and then you're saying, "Hey, this is like 600 square feet," and you know, you're working with employees and stuff, and that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Yeah. And you know, the trend I think has been moving bigger and bigger. And obviously, you need space and you need room for people to move, and you need all that stuff too. But it's kind of cool to hear that you can start with a smaller space and outgrow it. And that's pretty. I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it if you ever dig up some pictures. And if you end up digging up pictures and you don't mind, I'll throw them on the show notes page in case anybody else wants to see them too. But that'd be cool. Okay, so you're working out of this commercial space kind of on your property here. At what point were you like, okay, we need more space? And then what was the process of going to find that space from there?
So in between the time we got our original machines set up in our commercial building out here, we took on the hotel job. That increased the volume enormously, and we saw very quickly that the electric dryers that we had here, mostly residential but good equipment, was not going to cut it for getting this stuff done. We needed big gas dryers, and we went to another laundromat in town, and we were just kind of looking at it in an emergency when we saw that we couldn't get our stuff dry. We could get it washed, but that's not an issue. Getting it dry in time without it taking a whole day to just do a few runs. So there was another laundromat in town, and the owner, we were able to get in touch with him. Super great guy. Really enjoyed working with him. He had a pretty good setup, still has, and all his washers were 80s, 60s, 40s, and then a lot of the Horizon and top loader 20 pounders. So we were just like, wow, let's just hop over here for a while. And we did that with the hotel. He had plenty of dryers, and we were able to get that done. It just like nothing. No waiting for drying. Everything was getting done really quick, but we just had to make the call, and it was our space was not big enough. Our machines were not there, and so that's when we just had to say, let's hop over here for a while. And he kind of worked out a deal with us. Same thing with the cart system at 20%, and he would go to every month. He would send us an invoice, and we would do it. We just kind of went back to that original system that we were doing in a public coin laundry. And then this whole time, I'm still looking for bigger machines to put here out in our building. And I actually did that. That's when I found the bigger machines, and we were thinking, if this hotel job continues on into the future, this is what we'll do, and we'll have our equipment here to do that. So the shop kind of, our laundry room kind of evolved from just a few, 12 machines to adding big commercial equipment in that time space. And then that hotel job went away, and we were kind of thankful for it. But then I had all this commercial equipment set up, and it works really great, even for doing the Airbnb customers that we still have.
Yeah, it has really been an advantage of just overflow. Even since the laundromat that we're not talking about, it's because for a long time we were driving 6 days a week, pick up and delivery 6 days a week. And we also in the process learned that's not efficient. And we have slowly tweaked that along the years as well.
Especially it's all about efficiency, especially as the volume starts going up. You can actually make pretty good gains in your business and in your net income there by creating efficiencies, both in processing laundry and also in the way that you pick it up and deliver it. And there's different models of doing that. I think that's huge. And that comes with, that's part of the learning curve, right? As you're doing it, you guys kind of got thrown into the fire. But then you can also, shortcut that a little bit by talking to people like you, who've kind of gone through it and can kind of give, tips. And it sounds like you guys kind of did that too through, researching, like Fold with Mark and 2U Laundry with Alex and the way that they're running things. And I think that's an incredible way to get going. If that's how you're getting started, pick up delivery or, really any business is, do your research, and you're going to have to just learn some stuff by doing, but also you can shortcut some of that by getting near the people who've done it and who are doing it well. Either physically or, through researching their stuff. Okay. So we're at 2019. You see a van, talk to one lady, you both basically quit your jobs and start this business. 2020, you've got this, COVID hits, and then this tornado hits and business goes wild. And then you build a commercial location, right? 2021, I think, is what you said, is when you doubled your commercial location. All right. So what'd you do in 2022? Like I'm seeing a trend here. So there is something.
We had this building set up pretty good, and it was rolling pretty good with the amount of work that we were doing. And we keep going by the laundromat that we started out at. Driving by, and we see that it's being used. There's a linen service that's working there, and still COVID, still not interested in being with a bunch of other people at the same time. And so we were kind of thinking, what are we going to be doing in another year with what we're picking up with the delivery service? Where do we need to be with it equipment wise? And then somebody decides we needed another job that wasn't quite the hotel, but it was a commercial job.
I feel like we need to just call April out here a little bit for throwing you into the fire. I like how you're
amazing.
You're spending this positively, but you're also kind of saying, hey, April here, like, look what you're doing to me over here. So. All right, sorry, keep going.
Hey, you just learned. Yeah. You just have to,
as my father-in-law okay tells she's got me another job time, hey, here we go her, so.
Yeah.
So 2022, we're she's starting to negotiate this other job, and it's a big commercial job. It requires way more than what we were anticipating. We thought it would be pretty easy to do. And I'll just say it was dinner napkins.
For a restaurant?
Restaurant dinner napkins. And it's for one of the big London uniform companies that most everybody's probably heard of. But anyway, it was just a little too much.
What was the issue?
And once we got it, volume and quality with our equipment here, again, you have to have water at 160, 100, just for it to do its job. And they were white. They are white.
Yeah. And if you talk to anybody who's done linens, we learned afterwards. And again, I am one to hop into things. I thought, table napkins, we do table napkins. We've done sheets, you know, table napkins. And they're white. Ah, leach them. They'll be fine. No. These were white table napkins from Italian restaurants.
Yeah. A lot of red sauce, a lot of barbecue,
a lot of cleaning the grill, table napkins. Yeah, it was.
Anyway, we saw that wasn't going to fly at our little location out here in the country. And so in the meantime, we had already started looking into perhaps purchasing the original laundromat where we started. And that was in March of 22. We started talking to the owner, and he's like, "Yeah, well, let's see what we can do, and let's work something out." I'm not really doing a lot with it, and he was kind of feeling like it was a headache. He had another family member running it. Everybody was affected by COVID. They're, you know, like seriously life threatening stuff, and it affected the way that was being managed. And so we just kept on and said, "Hey, we would really love to have this location. We can see that this is what we need." And he set the number, and we were like, "Okay, we're going to get this laundromat now." And this is the same place that we started. We rented the little office space next to it, and it's where we did all the tornado work. So we know what this building and what the facility is capable of, because we turned out a lot of laundry with it. And that's what we have now. So that's when it progressed in 22. We purchased the laundromat, and we kind of held off a little while after we got it. It was right in July. And we're just still working at our space here at our house. And it started getting to the point, once we took on that other dinner napkin job, that this little space just ain't doing it. It is not going to cut it. So we packed up and took all our stuff over to the new laundromat that we had recently acquired.
That's wild. Yeah, I mean, it's a funny full circle, right? I think, too, I mean, like your story, I think parallels Mark's, because I'm pretty sure he bought the one that he originally started in too. So that's pretty funny. You guys are like literally just taking the playbook and putting it into action, which is not a bad idea because he kills it down there. So
No, that's I go back to not reinventing the wheel. Yeah. I watch closely what you and Mark has done along the and said, "Oh, well, they're doing it."
Yeah.
Works,
so how's
works
it
well.
Been so, owning a laundromat? I mean, because pick up and delivery and self-serve, they're two kind of different businesses almost even. So how have you liked owning the laundromat? Did you keep it open for self-serve to the public? Yeah. So how's that experience been?
Yeah. It's a diverse community that we live in, and we got to deal with a lot of the locals. As far as it being a step up, I think that was definitely the thing to do. It is a little more work, especially at first, kind of making the place your own. We had to kind of shift the clientele a little bit. Was a lot of people were kind of run off from having that linen service work there.
The guys for the linen service were actually telling people, this is our laundromat. It's not open to the public anymore. So the public literally pretty much thought that it wasn't open to them anymore. And so we got rid of that linen company because that was, there were trouble on many levels. So they, we kind of, we said, we told the owner on a closing day, they have to be out. And so we got them out and just let it know, you know, open to the public. We switched the signs and the public has now been coming back. It was not a zombie mat, but it needed paint. It needed, you know, some work done. And we did all that. And the community's loving it. Yeah. They're really, really loving it.
They
enjoy it.
You know, I mean, it's unfortunate the way that it worked out, you know, for the previous owner, but those are the opportunities, right? Like when you can help somebody solve their problems, you can end up with a good deal, right? And you were solving multiple problems on multiple fronts here for this guy. And he ended up with a laundromat. And because of it, I'm sure you get much better margins on your, you know, on your money that you're spending. But it was funny to hear you say that going from pickup and delivery, especially the way you started it, and then buying a self-serve laundromat, that was a lot of work. Because obviously we would naturally think, you know, the opposite would be true, where it's a lot more work for the pickup and delivery. And I'm sure it was a lot of work for the pickup and delivery, but it is interesting making that adjustment kind of going the other way, which is usually backwards from the way that people go, was the big adjustment for you. So, all right. So as we're doing this interview, it's the middle of 2023. Have you done anything massive this year, or is that still to come?
Well, we're still adjusting to the laundromat. There's still a few changes that we've had to make to it, but the two businesses have kind of
merged
and they both help each other.
But I would say that, I mean, the big thing for 23 is we just invested in a significant investment in more speed cleans. We just added 280 pounders, 260 pounders, 240 pound washers to the laundromat as of last week. And we have four more dryers that are coming. So, and that's helped our team as well as the public that's coming in. They're kind of loving it.
Yeah.
So sparkly that's new machines.
I'll allow that as being your big 2023 thing. I won't close the door on if there's more to come. I won't close the door on it, but I'll allow that. Cause that, I mean, that is a pretty big deal, especially you're buying those big machines. Those are not cheap for sure. I think you're going to see a good response to those things as you go forward, and it'll probably just continue to be a better and better response.
And again, that was last week, and people are already, oh, wow, this is really nice. We like this. Still working on some of the equipment issues and getting the card readers and stuff going and that kind of thing. But everybody who comes in just love it. The distributor, I worked with their tech who does the installations in this area, and we worked together on it. So yeah, it was.
It was fun. My stallion comment. Yeah.
And I do have to say that he, and I'm excited to say this. We're actually for the washers.
Okay.
We are doing the Sense card readers, the Sense Connect. And he'll be installing them.
That's what I'm talking about.
So he's going to get trained on installing those.
Guys might just pay you to install them all over the place. Who knows? that's what I'm talking about. Okay, awesome. all right, so you guys, you guys are running your pickup and delivery now, and you are running your laundromat now, and you've got the world's greatest laundry room at your house now, / podcasting studio today. Last question before we go into our next segment, like what are your guys' aspirations? Have you thought about, like, are you trying to own more laundromats? Are you trying to grow this pickup and delivery huge? Are you good with where you're at now? Do you have any plans for the future?
we're okay in so many different directions. If it grows, which we hope it will, you know, we have the space and the equipment to deal with it. Should the opportunity present itself to own another laundromat, we're not ruling it out. We're always looking. We had our eyes on one out into town, but maybe things didn't need to go that direction. And we seem to be happy with what we have right now, but we
nice.
Will
yes. keep the options
posted.
Open. I like
and,
it.
And we don't so leave things static here for too long.
For a fact. Yeah. I get the feeling you'd be okay if things leveled out a little bit, but April's like, nope, not having that. We're going to get, you know, we're doing space laundry now or something. I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to give you some crazy
ideas.
Don't
say that. Don't say that out.
I'll shoot you an email. Don't worry. awesome. All right. We got a segment of the show called Down to Business. And just to get a little more details about the business. So we know you're in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Which is cool. Love Chattanooga. I've got a lot of family in Tennessee, but they're mostly in Knoxville area. So I spent like all my summers out there in the Smokies and stuff. So a lot of. Did you? Ah, I love it.
I lived in Knoxville for a while too.
California Knoxville connection going on here. This is great. We're basically twins. So essentially, I've been working that angle so that I also can be a stallion. But it's just not turning out well for me. All right. So you guys have been in since about 2019, which is great. Can I ask you, what does it cost? Let's say I want to come and do my laundry or have you do my laundry in Chattanooga, Tennessee. What's that pickup and delivery costing right now? Okay.
Well, we actually have a hybrid of how we do it. We started out kind of copying to you by the bag. So all of our customers got used to buy the bag. And then we learned a whole lot from Dave Menz. So we now have a hybrid of how we do it. It is by the bag, but it's $2.49 per pound with a 20-pound minimum. So if the bags are over 20 pounds, then it's $2.49 added per pound. And that's for just weekly or biweekly. And then for just per request, it's $2.79 per pound. Again, 20-pound minimum. And for our walk-in customers that want drop-off, it's $2 a pound with a 15-pound minimum.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I like that. It's an interesting, you know, pricing model there. But I like the regular sort of cadence discount that you get, basically, because that encourages that, you know, subscription-esque income there. And, you know, it's all about cash flow, right? It's all about the cash flow. And when you can get somebody to give that recurring revenue, that's pretty valuable. You know, stuff. So I love that. I think that's great. How was the, you mentioned Dave's, seminar. I've heard great things. Obviously I'm a fan of Dave Menz. He and I are good buddies and we do a lot of stuff together, but how was his, seminar? You just dished the dirt here. You can tell us, for real. Like, how was it? Was it terrible or was it great?
Well, I'm always kind of like the reluctant.
So participant. She dragged you there, didn't she? Did she grab you by the ear or by the collar? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. So we went and just excellent information. Dave and Carla were wonderful to work with and really helped everybody out. Their information was well worth the course of what it costs to do. And awesome. Would recommend it to anybody.
Yep. I mean, and he literally was kicking and screaming because it's not cheap. It is a big investment. But after about 2 hours of the first day, he turned to me and said, this is worth every penny. Every penny. It's absolutely, really every laundry owner, pickup and delivery owner should go
I don't want Dave to get too big ahead. But in general, like, I mean, obviously, I know, like, I think Dave probably puts on a great, I haven't been to it personally, but I'm sure, I'm 100% confident he's putting on a really great program over there, and he's giving you great information and great resources and stuff. But just in general, just to speak generally about that, because one of the things that I hear in this industry which kind of annoys me, to be honest with you, is that people will complain about, you know, a pricing for something like that. And while it's not cheap, I don't remember the pricing off the top of my head, but it's multiple thousands of dollars, right? And you got to travel there and go, you know, and so there's, it's an investment. But we're talking about a business where you can make significant amounts of money. You can recoup your money in 1 month, you know, in this business. I'm not saying there's no guarantee there, but you can recoup the entire investment in 1 month there. And talk about an ROI. Like I understand where people are coming from when they're saying, hey, it's really expensive. You know, why is he charging so much? Yada, yada, yada. But he's not just Dave, but anybody who's doing something like this, it should be at least giving you far more value than you're spending. And so I like to hear that you saying that that's what he's doing there, because.
And again, my take on originally was, I don't know if we can swing this. This is a lot of money. And then when they gave us the manual for the course, it's all spelled out. It's all documented. Just that manual was worth the cost of the course.
It's going to help us for years. I mean, we literally have been implementing so much that we have learned and will continue to do so. But I'm a huge believer in continuing to learn and continuing to learn from others. You know, it's one of the things that my father taught me was surround yourself with people who know more than you do. Let them do what they do best and you do what you do best and everybody wins. Well, in business, when you get a win-win situation, it's the best it can be. And that is what Dave and Carla provided. And that's the same reason that you listen to your podcasts. You know, it's, we really do want to learn and continue learning.
I love
from
to hear you guys say that. And, you know, Shane, I appreciate you with the transparency of like not want, because I mean, I think your sentiment is, it's a natural one, right? Like, whoa, that's a lot of money. I don't know if we can swing it. I don't know if it's going to be worth it. But, you know, if you can kind of either have somebody like in April or maybe just April, we'll just drag, I don't know, if you're listening to this and you're trying to get to something, just hit up April and she'll drag you there. You know, and Shane will probably be there too, because she's got two hands. She's dragging both of you. But you know what I mean? Like if you can get there and you can kind of have that bigger perspective of like, okay, I don't, you know, I'm just gonna throw out a random number. Let's say it's 10 grand of an investment all in or whatever, 15, 20 grand. You know, if you can get there and you learn something that's worth, you know, 20 grand every 6 months, every year even, then holy cow, what kind of investment is that? Because you're going to benefit that going from that going forward, you know, long-term. So
years.
Anyways, I don't want to beat on that, but that's something about our industry that I think we need a little bit of growth in, which is recognizing the educational investment and the resource investment there. So I appreciate you guys sharing that. Okay. Do you have a sense of, you know, this laundromat that you bought last year, you have a sense of like turns per day? Do you track that at all?
I do. I'm kind of the nerd. I'm a huge spreadsheet nerd, and although I'm really looking forward to the Sense card readers and such, Spiderwash is decent, and they get pretty good reports. And what I found is that our larger machines, our 60s and 40s, were doing 2 and 3 turns per day. And interestingly enough, our Horizons were doing less than one.
Probably because, I don't know, should I say unlocked? I mean, Horizons are horrible. I don't know. I'm just going to say, like, they're like the bane of my, I have so many in one of my laundromats and I'm like, why did they sell me so many? It's, I don't know. But that's really interesting that they're doing like 2 or 3 times more on the bigger machines, which means you should probably continue to get those bigger machines and replace those Horizons. Yeah. As you go forward. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. That's awesome. You know, we didn't really talk about this, but do you have any sense of like how many pounds per week of, you know, the service side of the business you guys are doing, like ballpark or?
Oh yeah. We're doing well, including the other, if you're looking at, I want to say about 3,000 to 4,000 pounds
a week.
Pretty
awesome.
We do.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
You guys are awesome. I love what you guys are doing over there. All right. So your laundromat, is it attended? Is it unattended? How are you running it?
As of yesterday.
Breaking news, everybody. Breaking news.
Our attended. Yes. As of yesterday. Because all the kids went back to school. So
nice.
Then we are now attended Monday through Friday. So not on the weekends as of yet, but we're working awesome. On that.
And
we're
looking are you guys taking like drop off laundry there? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly why we moved our attendant mm-hmm. and expanded because. Yeah.
And then it, you still have a, yeah. you're using the spider wash card system right now. Cool. Okay. And then, okay. Are you guys still doing all the stuff? Are you there? Is this still your job? You're driving and you're folding and doing laundry. What's that look like now?
Well, she's more the accounting business end of it for the most part. Today was the exception, having to jump in and help because of the crew mm-hmm. was sick.
Which was good.
Yeah. Just, you know, you think it's all gone and then they get to, we get to help them out a little bit. So usually, I'm doing more maintenance repairs at the laundromat or, anything I need to adjust or modify mm-hmm. on the days I'm not driving. And then we're looking for another driver currently to kind of help fill in the gap because the route is growing mm-hmm. and we're probably going to have to double the route pretty soon. We do it kind of different, that part of it with, I know Dave and Carla, they run theirs at night. We run our, laundromat, our
employees.
Yeah. Employees are there doing the processing during the day, just a few days a week.
Well, what we pick up on Mondays, we process Tuesday and deliver Wednesday. And then Wednesday we pick up and deliver. And what we pick up, we process on Thursday and deliver it on Friday. And then we don't work any more weeks.
I'm sure you'll find yourself a like a large chain hotel that'll do all that for you. So it's fine. You know, I'll give Marriott a call after this thing and I'll take care of your weekends for you. You guys seem like you're getting bored or something. I don't know. I don't want you to lose your edge.
Yeah, we still have people calling and right asking now. Us to put in bids for doing their hotel. And right now, I don't know if we want to tackle that, but maybe at some point down the road, we could look back into taking on hotels. We did just add a few more machines to the laundromat, so that'll definitely
help.
And
kudos to you guys for understanding, and I know you kind of learned it the hard way a couple times, but narrowing down, who your customer is, and, you know, like I said earlier, we business owners in general have a hard time firing customers. we'd have a hard time turning away money, right? And we'll just be miserable for too long, you know, because we have a hard time turning away money. But kudos to you guys for saying, you know what, that's not our demographic. And so, all right, sweet. And we already kind of talked about what direction you're going in the future. Oh, real quick. You guys have a ballpark? How much time are you spending in your business now? Or how about when you first started versus now? Is it looking the same? Is it looking different?
Oh, yeah. No, I'd say we spend almost half of what we did in the beginning. Because in the beginning, again, we were literally working 7 days a week. We were probably working 100 hours.
Whose fault was that?
And now.
I'm just kidding. Okay, keep going. That's
okay. And now I would say we're probably back to 40-ish hours a week.
40 to 50.
Yeah, 40 to 50. But he, you know, things like the two sides of the laundromat, because there was the private side and he put a door in and now we're putting a window in so that we can have a drop off. So he's always doing construction, you know, that kind of thing, working at the laundromat when he's not driving. And I help out driving when I need to. But it's always good to stay in front of the customers. That's kind of what we use that.
That's awesome. And I'm glad to hear that you're not working 100-hour weeks anymore. And that is why I'm going to hook you up with the Marriott, because they will suck that up. Just kidding. Okay, so we got a couple segments. I am super excited about hear your guys' take on these. So the first one is this, secret sauce. And secret sauce is, what advice do you have for current owners, people who currently own laundromats or who currently run pickup and delivery? Mm-hmm. What advice do you have for them to help them sort of level up their business?
I would say stay in your lane. and this is something that Dave and Carla helped us to kind of cement. And that is, you know, really know who you're going after and stay there. Don't grab every shiny thing that comes along, which I am guilty of. And that's a hard lesson for a lot of people that are, you know, entrepreneurs like me that are just like, I can make everybody happy. I can do it. You know, hey, yeah, for it to me, I can do it. Stay in your lane.
Like, it's especially hard when there's a dollar sign attached to that shiny object, right? You're like, well, I might be willing to chase that shiny object for, you know, and especially if it starts taking away from your core business, right? I'll add too, like, you know, for somebody who's brand new or who's just kind of getting started or who's just kind of starting to scale, it can be hard to know what that lane is, right? So it's not bad to try, you know, okay, I'm going to try a hotel. Like, it wasn't, I'm sure eventually you were like, oh my gosh, why did I do that? But you don't know that until you know that. Right. And yeah. Well, and then that's the other thing, right? Like, once you learn that, take some action and don't wait a whole year to, you know, fire that customer. Right. So,
yeah,
but I do think, like, hey, it's not bad to say yes, 'cause you can find opportunities there, but, you know, once you figure out it's not the right fit, you got to take some action on that, no matter sort of the feelings it's conjuring up, or it could be scary, right, to have that conversation. So, but I think that's awesome secret sauce advice. Stay in your lane, you know who your customer is. And especially, like, the other thing I'll say about that, I'm talking a lot right now, but sorry, but I got excited about your secret sauce, is once you have that base foundation of, like, this is our customer, and your business is stable, and, you know, then you can kind of venture out from there and try, okay, we're going to try these napkins. It sounds easy, but, you know, we have the solid base. So we try these things. Okay. That was hot. I'm not going to touch that. Like, you know, the stove was on, oh my goodness. Right. Like, pull back away from that. Right. But you have this ability to try a whole bunch of different things once you have your solid, stable base. And as long as the things you're trying aren't taking away from your core business, then you have that flexibility a little bit to try stuff.
I'd say too, another thing is, don't be afraid to start small. When we started, we basically made use of what we had, which was a 10-year-old Nissan Cube and, somebody else's laundromat.
Yeah. Now we have a wrapped van and our own laundromat, but that's, a couple years down the road.
I mean, it's tough to start small when you got April over there who's just pulling everybody and their moms into the business. And you're like, we're trying to start small over here, and you're bringing in hotels and restaurants. And it's awesome. Okay, April, I don't know what happened, but somehow, like, I'm over here giving you such a hard time, and Shane's getting all the praise over here. I don't know how that happened, but he is the stallion. He's like a shirt.
He's a stallion. It's okay.
Stallion or something. I don't know. That'd be good. Okay. All right. We have another segment called Pro Tips, and this is for you guys in like 2019, in that brief window between when you saw a van and talked to one lady and when you quit your job. What advice do you have for somebody, you know, let's stick with who wants to start pickup and delivery. Maybe they have a laundromat, maybe they don't. What advice do you have for a newbie who's trying to get started in this business?
I would say first thing is go to your Chamber of Commerce and start visiting BNI, which is Business Network International, and talk to any Airbnb owners that you know because that is the wonderful place to start laundry service. People
did
that
you
need
talk
you
to
right
owners? Did you talk to management companies? What did you both? Yeah. Awesome. Good advice. And that's just a good practical, solid way to just get started. And then I'm going to echo what you said earlier and just like go big on being everywhere, right? Like be in all places that you can be, you know, even if you're bootstrapped, like find the creative ways to just get in front of people, you know, both online, but also don't neglect the offline, right? Don't neglect the posters. Don't neglect knocking on doors of businesses, of people, you know, all that stuff, and just kind of be everywhere. Great advice that you've been giving this entire, this has been awesome, by the way. All right, I have one more segment, and then I have, so one more question there, and then I want to hear how people can talk to you more if they are interested, which they should be, because we've got April and the Stallion here. That's like a sick band name. You guys should start a band. April and the Stallion. Oh my gosh. God, that is so brandable too. Okay. I don't know. Like, I'm just excited to be talking to you guys, I guess, today, because the ideas are just coming. You know, when you're like in that flow state, this is happening right now. All right. Last segment has to do with resource. We're Laundromat Resource over here. So what resources can you recommend to help people grow themselves personally or their businesses, you know, going forward?
Well, when you had asked about that earlier, I would definitely say, you know, check out the courses, because I know you've got some courses. Dave and Carla have courses. The Williford brothers do. There's also a book that I just find fascinating, and I really, really like it, especially for any entrepreneur, which was Profit First. Love that book. That's amazing. Your thoughts?
Awesome. I will, just for anybody who's interested in any of those things, I'll put links to Dave and his stuff, Laundromat Millionaire, the Williford brothers, that's Luke and Lee. They've been on the podcast a couple times and they're awesome. They have really great stuff too. And my stuff, I'll put links to all that stuff. And then I'll also put a link to Profit First. Profit First is a great book. You know, there's lots of them, but that's definitely one that's on my recommended reading list too. And you know what? If April says it, then you do it, right? Right, Shane? Right, Shane? That's exactly right. Yeah,
Shane, that is.
That is exact. You don't know how right that is. I hear the undertones there, Shane. I hope you survive after this podcast. I hope you're going to be good.
Shane
is just putting positive spins on everything. He's like, are you a politician? You should be. Yeah. No. But I got a good campaign manager for you if you want one. April will force everyone to vote for you. So that's good. No, Profit First, awesome book. I'll put links to all that stuff there. Guys, this has been not only super educational, yes, super cool to hear your story, but hear how you grew this business from scratch. And quit your jobs basically on a whim with no supporting evidence or reason to think that you're going to be successful, and have made something awesome out of that. Seriously, I've been joking about it, but it's genuinely very, very impressive, and you know, very encouraging, I think, for a lot of us who are in this business or trying to get in this business. Not only that it can be done, but also you shared how you guys did it and a lot of practical tips. So all of that, and it's been a lot of fun. You guys are great. Great to just have a conversation with. So we'll have to do this again for sure. Last question I have for you is, if people want to, you know, either be pulled around by the ear by April, or they just want to be in the presence of the Stallion. No, but if people want to contact you guys, what's the best way they can get a hold of you?
Well, the best thing is our email is info@freedomfromlaundryllc.com. Or they're welcome to call the business number, which is 423-463-5709.
Okay. Guys, please email them first.
You'll get one of them.
I should have warned them about putting a phone number out there. Please email them first. Don't bombard them with phone calls, and you know, set up a phone call via email. So, but guys, this has been awesome stuff. Anything you want to say? Parting words of wisdom or advice or anything?
Well, we really appreciate all that you put into this. It is an amazing aid and help to anybody who is getting into the business or has been in it for a minute. They can definitely benefit and do benefit from what you put together with your podcast.
You were actually one of the very first resources that I did start listening to back in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Back, and you got just a few out at the time, and we listened to you ever since. So, and it was, like I said, it was fun for us to meet you in the, at the Clean Show, and to actually be on your show is probably the highlight of our life.
Let's just call it like it is. No, I'm just kidding. No, well, I appreciate you guys. Again, always cool to meet, people in this industry and who are kind of laundry geeks, also, and who can get excited about talking about this stuff with me. So I'm always looking for people to get excited with about laundry. So I appreciate you guys. A lot of fun. Again, thank you so much for everything that you've shared today, both your story and all just the wisdom that you guys have gained over the years. And looking forward to having more conversations with you guys, maybe online, but also offline. So appreciate you guys.
Thank you, George.
Thank you,
George.
All right. Hope you loved that interview with April and Shane. I know I did. And, I learned a lot. I hope you learned a lot too, but really, listen, you're only hitting your goals when you actually take action on this stuff. So as always, pick one thing to take some action on this week. When we stack those actions, that is what takes us down the path towards accomplishing our goals. So pick one action and commit to actually taking it this week, and maybe go share it on the forums at laundromatresource.com/forums. For me, my one action revolves around, I'm always, if you've been around here for a while, maybe I'm a sucker for the super connector talk. We had that talk around a half hour into the interview, and we're talking super connectors. And for me, it is just fostering relationships more intentionally. I'm not very good at it naturally. There's probably some of you out there waiting on a phone call from me. So I apologize. It's not my natural thing, but I need to be more systematic about connecting with people, because we are meant to go through life together and to help each other. And we are stronger when we're together. So huge takeaway for me. I loved it. And a huge thank you to the Ashleys for bringing that point up and talking about it with me, because I always love doing that. All right. Pick one thing for you, put it into action this week. Maybe go share it on the forums, laundromatresource.com/forums, and we will see you next week. Peace.